Hebrews chapter number 13, Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to go to verse number 10. We haven't done this in a long time. Would you stand with me? And if you can, try to read with me aloud. Starting in verse number 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege to read it one with another. I pray this morning that your words, your thoughts, your intents might invade our souls. Lord God, we need you this morning. Lord, I need of your strength, I need of your power, and Lord, each one of us here do. Bless, we pray, as we look now at your word in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. If you would notice with me, verse number 15, there's a phrase there that really seems like it is not correct. It seems like the terms there are in opposition to one another. Notice there, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. The sacrifice of praise. Now, the terms sacrifice and praise, in my mind, do not mean the same thing. And they seem to almost be opposing to each other. A sacrifice is an offering of something that has great cost to ourselves. We go back to the days of David, and you remember that the death angel had come as a result of his sin, and it was at the threshing floor of Araunah. And we find that God had instructed David to go there and to buy that threshing floor. By the way, that later was where the tabernacle or the temple was built. It's interesting to me that upon a place where judgment stopped, God said, I want you to build the temple. In verse 24 of chapter 24 in 2 Samuel, it says this, and the king said to Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Because Araunah had just said, I will give it to you. And then he goes on and says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Sacrifice. It is something that costs us something. Praise, on the other hand, is that sound which bubbles out of a grateful heart. And it has marvelous thoughts, and it says really miraculous things at times. Praise does not always cost us something. For instance, we praise a dog for fetching a ball. Sometimes we'll even praise a child who's used the potty. Good job! I'll get a kick out of that one because nobody's ever done that for me in the last several years. Matter of fact, I remember a few times in the hospital a few years ago that they weren't happy whatsoever. But we also, I mean, a friend helps us clean up after a major storm. Somebody's come and did this or they've done that. And what do? We praise them. We're so thankful for what they have done. Praise is often our response to some action that directly affects, benefits us. And we feel generous when this happens to us. We find it easy to praise God from the same motivation. When he has blessed us, when he's helped us, when he's protected us, We feel generous toward Him. We can sing and worship and talk about how good He is because we can see it. And this kind of praise, although worthwhile, and although it is good and right and marvelous, doesn't cost us anything. That's not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice to say thank you to somebody when they have done something marvelous. It's not a sacrifice to heap some sort of words upon them of praise because they did this or they've done that. And if those times of experiencing God's blessings are not a sacrifice, what in the world is a sacrifice of praise? Why does He use these words here? What in the world does He mean? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Well, when we read the context, which you read with me, we can begin to understand just a little bit about it. As the beast of the Old Testament, we find in verse 11 and 12, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered without the gates, on the outside. He did not die in Jerusalem, but where? On Golgotha's hill, outside of Jerusalem. We find that we are enjoined to do the same thing. Notice something in verse number 13. Let us go, therefore, unto Him without the camp. Notice this, bearing His reproach. See? And so we're asked to do something similar. We have nothing now, but we do have a future home. It says we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's interesting. Like Job, who was under a heavy burden, in spite of what was taking place, we still praise Him. That's costing us something. Job said this, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Wow. I was reading this morning the book of Job, and a little later on in the book, and we find where Job, he talks about that one of these days that he's going to get to see the Lord in His flesh. And though the worms would consume his body, yet he will see the Lord. He is praising Him. Though he is in a horrible position, though his body is covered with boils, though his children have been killed, though he's lost all of his properties and all of his wealth, and though his wife has looked at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Though his three friends, and we'd have to put quotation marks around that, have come to him and basically said to him, Job, you're in this position because you are backslidden. And yet Job still has this burden to praise the Lord. You see, it's an act of the will to lay our all on the altar before a God we don't understand. His ways are past finding out. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed there are things that happen to you? You wonder, why, God, are you letting this happen to me? Why is this going on in my life? And yet we say, whatever it is, God, we're going to follow you no matter what. It isn't questioning the way He works, but praising Him in spite of how horrible it might seem for us to be. Let's think about this for a moment. When is faith the most visible? I think it's the most visible when we can't see. I hope that makes sense to you. Listen to what this says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. And real faith does not see what is out there other than through the eyes of faith. I mean, we can't see it visibly. Think of this. When is joy the greatest? When is joy the greatest? I would declare to you today, when you're in the midst of troubles. You say, well, I'm not very happy there. We're not talking about happiness. We're talking about joy. Remember what James said? Chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it joy. Be excited of how God is going to work through it all. I mean, we look around right now, we see our world in a horrible situation. We see our country in the throes of death. I mean, we look and we wonder, what is going to happen? But we also know there is a God, and we know that He has not lost control. And we know that somehow, though He may not take our country through, He will take us through. It's just the way He is. Count it all joy. Let me ask you this. When is praise the loudest? I would say to you this morning, when there is no earthly reason for it. I want you to think about this. Jehoshaphat is going to go up against the Moabites and the Ammonites. And they are outnumbered horrendously. And in chapter 20 and verse 21 and 22 of 2 Chronicles, it says this, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." When was the last time we sent a choir ahead of our fighter jets? When was the last time we sent singers before our battleships? We have not done that, but that's exactly the plan that Jehoshaphat had, and they were going forth singing the praises of God in the midst of horrible circumstances, when the opposition was horrible against him. And listen to this, the next verse says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." Wow. The power of praise. When's it the loudest? When there's no real good reason for it. From verse 15, I would like this morning to find some principles of praise. Some things I hope would be helpful to each and every one of us. And the first thing I'd like for us to notice in verse 15 is the word continually. Continually. Praise is to be continuous. There's no quitting place for praise. No quitting place. I remember one time years ago, I was in Bible college and they were talking about, when is a good time to leave a church? When's a good time to quit? And so we went through a number of scenarios. The church is in a hard situation. Well, that's not a time to quit. They need you. It's having this. It's having that. Well, that's not a good time to quit. Everything's going good. Who wants to quit then? And I remember the fellow who taught that said this. He said, "Victory will be right around the corner. Because there's no good quitting place." And that's true of praise as well. God is still larger than what we believe. There's no quitting place. He's everlasting. And He is to be praised forever. Listen to Revelation 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. It says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders." Where are we at? This is a picture of the throne room of God, and it's talking about the angels and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. All I can say is, that's a lot. Saying with a soft voice, no, what's ever. With a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." When are we supposed to stop praising the Lord? Never, never, ever. Nothing will bring greater peace to your life than when you are immersed in Him with gratitude. Isaiah 26:3, I think, hints in this area. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When our mind is upon him, it's a position of praise, and God keeps us in this state of peace in our minds. I've taken from that verse, I've been criticized for, but I've taken from that verse the idea that God's people should never have a mental breakdown if we're stayed upon the Lord. So praise is to be continuous. I would take it another step and say that praise is vocal. Praise is vocal. Silence is void of praise. My Bible says in Psalm 66:1, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." For those of you who are like me who don't have great voices, in the great God didn't say, "Make beautiful music." He said, "Make a joyful noise in the Lord, all ye lands." God wants to understand, praise is something that's vocal. I think we're going to see something, the next several verses I'm going to read, that will share what I believe is a beautiful situation for a church. In Psalm 81, verse 1 says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Again, verse number 2 of the chapter, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise. 98:6 says, "With trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King." And Psalm 100, a verse that I memorized as a little kid, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." It seems to me that from these verses, that music, singing is a major part of praise. I put that together with the book of Ephesians when it talks about being filled with the Spirit of God. And there are three things that's true of a person filled with the Spirit of God. One of those is a spirit of thankfulness. One of those is singing and making melody in your heart. And I have found that when I'm walking the closest with God, there's a song that's in my heart. And it goes over and over again. I don't always remember all the song, but I remember parts of it. I don't believe there's anything quite like a church that sings loudly from the heart. As you know, on Sunday mornings, I normally sit down here. And there's a couple reasons for that. I don't have the strength on the legs anymore to stand up here the whole time, so I rest during that time. And yet in that spot, as well as up here, I can hear most everybody singing. And what a joy that is. And sometimes it's much greater than other times. And I've noticed this, when it's much greater, it's easier to preach. When it's much greater, God's people are more apt to receive. It just goes hand in hand. And we have this marvelous privilege to sing. I like sitting there for another reason, because when you're sitting up here, sometimes you're looking out and you're seeing people who are sitting there. They remind me, honestly, there was a time years and years ago, some of you might remember, we went down to Worlds of Fun. Brother Steve Ziner was with us, and that guy's a nut. I talked to him this week. He's still nuts. And Steve, you're watching. God bless you. And we walk on the grounds there, and the first thing we see is this big old roller coaster. What do they call that? Teresa, what did they call that? She's seen it in other places before. Huh? What did they call that? Express. The Orient Express. Okay. Steve looked at that. There's a joke with Teresa because she thought she saw it in a field somewhere we were down. Anyways, that's another story. Besides, she was kind of mixed up on that. She didn't know what the inside and the outside lanes were of the highway, but we haven't got her straightened out yet. We walk on the grounds. Steve looks up and he says, let's go on that. I said, Steve, you wait to the end to do that. No, let's go now. I said, everything else will seem tame if we go on that now. I don't care. Let's go now. I said, Steve, I don't want to go now. Oh, come on. Let's go now. And he kept at it. And I finally, we walk over, we get in line, and we get on the Orient Express. And we ride that crazy thing. How many have ever been on that thing? It was made by the devil. And we rode that thing. We got off. You know what Steve said? Let's do that again. I said, let's go over there. Look at that. They're riding the logs over there. He says, oh, that looks too, that's too easy. 5 times that day we rode that thing. I tell that to tell this because we had a group of teenagers. They were, you know, we just kind of let them go and do their thing and, you know, stay together. And we came upon, I think it was 2, maybe 3 girls, and they were sitting on a bench. Mind you, we're at Worlds of Fun. You know, that's where everybody goes to have fun. They're sitting there. They walk in and say, what's wrong, girls? We're bored. You're bored. How in the world can you be bored here? Well, we're bored. When you sit up here and you look out there and you see the church singing and there's somebody sitting there, I think you would probably be bored with Worlds of Fun. In present vernacular, dude, get a life. Praise is continuous. Praise is marvelous as we consider that it is that which is vocal. Aren't you glad we can sing together? And the songs we sing, it's marvelous. But one last thought. He says here, the sacrifice of praise. Praise is giving. Praise is giving. I heard somebody say it years ago that one of the greatest times of worship is at offering time. And I thought, that's just because you're a preacher and you want to see the offerings be greater. As the years have rolled by, I've begun to understand what he was talking about. Because as we have an opportunity to give, it brings really praise unto God. Because it's out of a grateful heart. And a grateful heart by nature makes a way to give. It is an outward display of praise. What a marvelous thing it is that we have that opportunity. And I'm not talking about just an offering to church. I'm talking about we have opportunities to give to people in different needs in their lives. We do it with our children. We do it with our grandchildren. And by the way, when you get grandchildren and you do it for them, the children said, we never got that. Well, there's 2 reasons. You was eating us out of house and home. We didn't have it to get it for you. And we're more blind to the sins of grandkids than we are kids. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Now that my kids are becoming grandparents, it's a neat spot to be to see that taking place in their life. But seriously, the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? All the time. All the time. It's to be continuous. It's to keep on keeping on. Because God wants that kind of thing, I believe, from now throughout all eternity. praises vocal. It comes out so often in singing. And we've dwelt there so much, but the words we say, the things that we say about God to others that bring praise to Him. Sometimes in church service we have testimonies. And so somebody, they'll stand up and say, well, God did this and God did that, and we're giving praise unto God. By the way, that doesn't have to be just in a church service. That can be on the job. You say, well, they don't understand. I know they don't understand, but when you're excited about something, they do understand that. And lastly, praise is giving. What's the sacrifice of praise? It's that which comes when there doesn't seem to be any earthly reason for it. It's that which comes when it seems like everything is upside down. It's that which comes more perhaps when we're sick than when we're well. Perhaps it's that which comes more when we are poor than when we're wealthy. The sacrifice of praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege and opportunity of sacrificing our praise to you. Lord, for the situations and the problems and all those things that come into our lives, rather than to bemoan and rather to complain, we can do as James said and count it all joy. We can praise your name that we know you may not remove it, but you will take us through it. Lord God, I pray for your folk. You might bless them. And Lord, though we've not really spoken to those directly that need Christ, maybe there be one in our room today. Lord, through your convicting power, draw them to Christ. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.